entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The military has now released graphic photographs of Saddam Hussein's two dead sons. The handful of photos clearly show the faces of Uday and Qusay Hussein. The two were reported casualties in a gun battle in Mosul on Tuesday. The Defense Department has historically shied away from showing the bodies of enemy and U.S. fighters killed in action. Yesterday, though, Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz said the unofficial rule is being bent this time in order to hopefully curb attacks on U.S. soldiers in Iraq. But even with that hope, several more American soldiers, this time from the 101st Airborne Division, have been killed outside Mosul. Public Affairs Officer Monica Walden confirmed the reports earlier today.
Three 101st Airborne Division soldiers were killed when their convoy was ambushed by small arms fire and rocket-propelled grenades while traveling outside to Qeyada West, outside of Mosul.
Walden said the ambush site was secured after the attack and the soldiers were evacuated to a nearby medical facility where they later died. It was the 101st that raided the house in Mosul this week, killing Saddam Hussein's two sons. The United Nations says attacks on humanitarian groups in Iraq can no longer be considered isolated incidents. Two aid workers have been killed so far this week. Tuesday, a medical technician from Sri Lanka was killed and his driver wounded when they were...
Great Carpenter and Stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
For the first time now in California history, the governor there is facing an official recall vote. Correspondent Don Andrews now has the latest on the certification of the petitions as well as what happens next.
Now that the Secretary of State has certified the recall petitions, the politicking will kick into high gear. The Lieutenant Governor is poised to set a recall election date. That's expected to be either September 30th or October 7th. The only question now is whether replacement candidates will also be on the recall ballot. Bustamante has said he's only going to set a recall election date and let the little-known commission on the governor and the courts decide when the replacements will be chosen. That is, if Davis is recalled. Don Andrews, Sacramento.
And just when officials in Hong Kong thought their city was entirely free of SARS, 11 more patients are being tested for the potentially fatal disease. All 11 are patients apparently at a psychiatric hospital. All are said to be showing signs of respiratory illness. The World Health Organization declared Hong Kong SARS-free only about a month ago. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Carfenic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Just like Will and Luke had some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as afterrun, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today. Broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite system. And streaming live on the internet at radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com with archives at whiterosesociety.org. By the way, radiopower.org has been doing a great job collecting this show and doing streams. While we are on many radio stations, actual on-the-ground radio stations all over the United States, we also have a substantial web audience, and which is interesting. I'm not sure that there are a lot of other shows out there that do that, although I know that some are really starting to build that. Rush Limbaugh, for example, has put a lot of effort into his website, and this is a growing trend. But I just wanted to flag you to radiopower.org and let you know the good work, the really, truly good work that those folks are doing, and encourage you to check it out, encourage you to sign on with them, join their mailing list. And they're also doing a fundraiser right now to try and keep the thing alive and keep it going. And it's worth, you know, a contribution to if you're up for it, if you're so inclined. Just FYI. I have nothing to do with them, no affiliation with them. I'm very pleased that they are broadcasting this network, and or many of the programs of this network, and that they do a great job. And this show, you know, of course, I'm grateful for that. So, is the theft of your vote just a chip away? Boy, is this issue going to be hot. We've got a lot of stuff to cover also in today's news, all sorts of things, and a bunch of emails and threads. And I think I'm going to sprinkle the news throughout the 3 hours here. And in our second hour, we're going to have a special appearance, and I warn you, get earmuffs for the kiddies, because some of the language is rather salty, as they say. And we're going to have a special guest appearance by Richard M. Nixon, former president of the United States, talking about, talking with Mr. Haldeman about how to properly cover up a conspiracy within the White House to do in your political enemies and win elections and all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about, is Iraq George Bush's Watergate? And in the context of that, we're going to go through the timelines of Iraq. We're going to go through the timelines of Watergate. We're going to hear from Nixon. And hopefully we'll have a lively discussion about that. And in our third hour, I want to ask the question, and I think this is a very serious one. I don't know if you saw Crossfire yesterday, but when they brought up the issue on Crossfire on CNN, Bob Novak was on that show about whether, about the fact that in a column that he wrote for the Sun Sentinel, as I recall, or the Chicago, whatever. We'll get to that in the third hour. I have the actual article here. It's just not at the top of the stack. Bob Novak, in his column, outed a CIA agent, the wife of Joseph Wilson. And this is a felony. People go to prison for this. And there was a situation back when the Frank Church Committee was looking into some Republican wrongdoings, you may recall. They outed a CIA agent in Greece, and he ended up getting assassinated by the November 17 terrorist group. And heads rolled. And so our third hour, we're going to ask the question, should Bob Novak and his two administration sources be prosecuted? This is a 10-year in prison felony. And when they brought this thing up on Crossfire yesterday, you could see Novak squirming. It's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out, whether the press picks this up, what kind of story this is, how it becomes, how it breaks out. Just as an FYI, by the way, the last hour of the show tomorrow, we're going to have Rama Schneider in to fill in for me, because I've got to drive down to Rhinebeck, New York, where I'm doing a weekend workshop on attention deficit disorder Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In fact, I start speaking tomorrow night, which is why I'm going to have to leave the show an hour early. And then all of next week, we're going to be playing repeat shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. In fact, next Wednesday, we're going to repeat our interview with Joe Trippi, because we've gotten so much positive feedback about that, and people who want to hear it again or want to tell their friends to, hey, you want to hear what Howard Dean's guy says. And as time goes on, we're going to try and get all of the candidates on, by the way. I want to make sure you know this isn't the Howard Dean program, even though I live in Vermont. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday of next week, we're going to be repeating shows. And Tuesday of next week, we're going to have Rama Schneider filling in. And Thursday of next week, Ski Anderson of WLS, formerly Nancy Skinner's partner on that program, Ski and Skinner. Nancy, of course, having left the program involuntarily, apparently. Originally, it was that she'd been fired, but WLS says no, she's just not on the air until the election is over. And if she doesn't get elected, they want her back. And if she is elected, then, of course, she goes off to the United States Senate. So You know, we'll see how that shakes out. Good interview with Nancy in BuzzFlash today, worth reading. And Nancy Skinner, nancyskinner.com, her website, and she then with links to her Nancy Skinner for the United States Senate. She's running from Illinois for the United States Senate. And we wish her well. Nancy is one of God's good people. Yeah, I mean, she's really and truly a fine human being and a brilliant social and political commentator, and she would make a great United States senator. So anyhow, and then so that's what we're going to have on the radio. And if you have any interest in attending the workshop next week, we're doing the week long workshop is going to be called "Touching the Power of Life," a recurring theme in my books, including "The Prophet's Way" and "Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight." Involves the ways our culture wounds and constrains our success, but there's a way out. And we're going to talk about that in the last day of the workshop, actually, we're going to be getting into political activism as important work in the world. Our quote for the day, we are told America is best when people are interested in ourselves. This is from James Carville. He says, you know, the conservative pitch is that America's best when people are interested in themselves. We know, however, James Carville says, that America is better when we're based on a common interest. This, I think, cuts right to the chase of the big debate between conservatives and liberals, as it were, in the United States. That being that there is this Ayn Rand exaltation of selfishness, this idea that the only reason anybody does anything is out of selfish motivation, and that's the best thing, and that leads to all the wonderful innovations, blah, 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 blah. And the fact is, it's not true. It's simply not true. People do things for egalitarian reasons. Yeah, there may be something in it for them. Ultimately, there always is a payoff. You do something good for somebody else, you feel good. But that's a little different than the way the cons portray it, that the greed is good, and that greed is the root of all beneficial things. It's just even among animals. I mean, they say, well, no, it's competition, not cooperation. That's how nature works. Well, first of all, that's not what Charles Darwin said. And secondly, it's just not true. Can you imagine in your body if all of your organs didn't cooperate? What if your liver one day decided that it was going to compete with everybody else? Or if your lungs decided that they were going to try and take over. Or if your big toe on your left foot decided that it was going to be, I'm in charge now. Actually, when a few cells decide that they're going to compete with everything else in your body for the energy supply and the food supply and the blood supply, we call that cancer. And this type of thinking is a cancer in America. It's a cancer in our social body, and it's a cancer in our political body. We're seeing the consequences of it with this administration, and the mean, small-minded, the punishment-driven behaviors of, you know, destroying anybody who speaks out against them, like Joseph Wilson outing his... This is a guy within the administration. Their own people they're trashing. And it's just, it's not healthy. It's just not healthy for the United States. We can be better than that. We are better than that. As a citizen of the United States, I was both hopeful and skeptical about the recent events that unfolded in Iraq, writes Wayleft J, one of the members of our chat room. See if Wayleft... Ah, you're in the chat room right now, he is. I got an email here from him. He says, news broke out yesterday that Saddam Hussein's two notorious sons were killed in a violent gun battle in Mosul. I am indeed hopeful in the aspect that perhaps this event will calm at least some of the storm that exists in that embattled country where so many fellow Americans are literally under the gun of terrorism 24 hours a day. Not too long ago, I heard a Bush spokesman remarking that the left had been wrong on virtually every aspect of the Iraq war, including the flood of terrorism that's supposed to follow a U.S.-led invasion of the country. Apparently, when an American is in uniform and is gunned down in the streets of Baghdad in the most cowardly fashion, that doesn't count. And I hate to agree, I think it does. We've been losing a citizen a day, and it's the death of Uday and Qusay, And if the death of Uday and Qusay do anything to curtail these attacks, I'm happy that they were eliminated. I have no problem with their deaths at the hand of U.S. soldiers, because these two contributed absolutely nothing good to the world. I do find myself skeptical, however, not with the action, but with the timing of the events. Just as GW was under his most intense fire since the Iraq invasion, just as he was facing his most difficult test, The military gets a home run that will no doubt boost Bush's standings. Well, it's interesting. It's perhaps the next time the heat is on Bush, Saddam himself will pop out of a sand dune, and we can chalk up yet another brilliant victory for Team Bush. Well, way left, I'm not quite as skeptical as you are. I do have my own concern about this, my own paranoia or whatever. And that is that I don't think that they ever intended to take these guys alive, and that they could have easily done it. I mean, there were basically four people in that house, or maybe four and a few others, but it looks like there were only four people in the house. And they certainly could have done what they did with Noriega down in Panama and, you know, taken some time and gotten them out alive and think of what they could have learned from them, you know, like where their dad is. But maybe we don't want to know those things. Were there really weapons of mass destruction? Maybe we really don't want to know those things. Got an email here from Patrick in Austin, Texas. He says, I support Governor Dean primarily because he's not a liberal or a moderate or a conservative. I support him because he makes sense, and I truly feel he's looking out for doing what's right for the common person. That is a reflection, by the way, of virtually all the feedback I got from yesterday's interview. I was really surprised. Nobody emailed in, even any of our Green friends, to say, what nonsense, or, you know, dump this guy or whatever. Bill Clinton's been in the news. Have you seen this yesterday on Fox, of course, and CNN and whatnot? Everybody say, oh, Bill Clinton said move on. Well, first of all, I never saw the phrase move on in Bill Clinton's words, but that's how the right is spinning it. Bill Clinton is saying to the left, move on. And now the conspiracy theorists are coming out of the woodwork. Well, Bill's just saying that because he wants Bush to be stronger so that whoever runs for the Democratic nominee will lose so that Hillary can jump into the race in 2008. Could be. I don't think so, frankly. I think Clinton was just honestly answering a question. And, you know, with a fair amount of self-aggrandizement tossed in there. But it's really interesting to see how, you know, these guys who beat him up at every turn, just a few words out of his mouth, and suddenly they all glom onto it and play, oh, look at what Bill Clinton said. Isn't it incredible? Anyhow, is the theft of your vote just a chip away? One of the most important issues of our age. We're going to start on that right after this break. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
at 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speech Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Program on the IE America Radio Network. NAFTA and jobs, where's the workshop, cancel elections, martial law, a bunch of questions here from our chat room folks. Let me just get through these really quickly because I want to get into this this voting machine stuff because this is really hot. Article about it in today's New York Times, an article I wrote about it on Alternet. It may be being blasted out in email to the planet this weekend. We'll see. Is the theft of your vote just a chip away? First of all, somebody asked, okay, the workshop that I'm teaching next week, where is it and how do I find out about? It's at Omega Institute, and the website is www.eomega.org, eomega.org, and you can find the details off that. Somebody else had said, what about the possibility of canceling the elections? What does martial law mean? Martial law, there is a, in fact, a large chunk of this was passed during the Nixon administration, and there was a big flap about it when it happened. I forget which year it was. But it was when the Vietnam War was still going on, and there was concern that Nixon was going to cancel the elections. It was an executive order in part. Part of it is an executive order. Part of it goes back to World War II and some laws that were passed during the Roosevelt administration, and parts of it go back even before that. So there's a bunch of pieces to it. But basically, the president has the authority, and we should do a whole show on this, Louise. In fact, this would be a great one for us to get somebody on who has written a book about it or really done the research, because I'm not an expert on it, but I have dug into it more than once, and I've written about it in a quick overview. That the president has the authority to declare a state of national emergency. And in the context of that state of national emergency, he can suspend certain laws. Lincoln, for example, suspended the right of habeas corpus, among other things. He suspended a number of civil rights during the Civil War. Roosevelt suspended some of our laws during World War II. He interned the Japanese on the basis of one of those suspensions, as I recall. But to take it even further with the new Nixonian laws, the president has the right to suspend the House and Senate, and to suspend elections. But the main thing about the state of emergency is that all local police functions become federalized. That is to say, your local police department suddenly is working for the Army.
Your state police are suddenly working for the Army. Your local phone company becomes an instrument of the United States government, and on it goes. They basically take over all our infrastructure in the case of a national emergency. And that may actually be a good thing if there was a real national emergency. Or it might be a terrible thing if somebody wanted to move a coup d'etat ahead. As to NAFTA and jobs, I'll just give you a quickie here, and that's something that we have dealt with at some length in the past and we will in the future. NAFTA basically broke down the trade barriers. Used to be that if you wanted to make shoes in the United States and it cost $10 an hour to have the labor to make those shoes, or $20 an hour is probably more like it, and in Malaysia they were making shoes and they could do it for 10 cents an hour. Let's say it's $10 an hour here, 10 cents an hour there. Then we had a tariff, a tax, as it were, on shoes coming in from Malaysia. Let's say there's an hour of labor in a pair of shoes that said, if you want to import shoes, fine, no problem, but you have to pay a tax of $9.90, which equalized the cost of the labor. And NAFTA and GATT, among other things, I mean, this is just kind of a small example of a large, huge spectrum of things that happened, did away with that. Said, no, that's illegal restraint of trade. That's unfair. And of course, it's not. I mean, that's simply a way of governments preserving their own self-interest and helping their own people. But that's how it's worked. The North American Free Trade Agreement and the General Agreement on Tariff and Trades, the World Trade Organization, all of this thing, the whole shtick, the whole business has had the effect of just wiping this stuff out. The result, of course, has been that our manufacturing jobs have been fleeing. And now our white-collar jobs, as we talked about yesterday, are going as well. Forrester Research estimating 3 million more to go any day now. Nobody is safe. Soon the only jobs that will be safe are those flipping burgers. And even those might not be safe because people can't afford to buy the burgers. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense in the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
An international boycott of Coca-Cola products was launched this week in hopes of pressuring the company to rein in anti-union violence at its plants in Colombia. Seven Colombian union leaders at Coca-Cola bottling plants have been killed by paramilitary groups, and they were specifically targeted for their union activities. Coca-Cola was the target of a civil lawsuit brought on behalf of the dead workers in a Florida court last year, but a judge absolved the company of blame in March. A suit against Coke's Colombian bottlers continues.
What do we want?
Fair study.
And when do we want it?
Now!
Employees of the National Institutes of Health rallied outside their Washington, D.C. headquarters this week in protest of plans to privatize that agency's services. Members of the American Federation of Government Employees say their jobs are on the chopping block due to a process called A76.
Well, the A76 is a process the government uses to compete our jobs against private industry and contractors.
Richard Laubach is president of AFGE Local 2419.
The current study process we're using for this study is lowest bidder, which means if a contractor comes in and gives the lowest cost to do the work, they get the work, no matter how flawed their work may be.
That focus on the bottom line jeopardizes the public, according to Jackie Ballard of Blacks in Government. She says the agency does research into some of the most dangerous biological and radioactive materials known to science.
It is imperative that these facilities are safeguarded and maintained by highly trained and experienced federal employees.
The NIH will complete its competition by September 15th.
Another mass layoff coming at the Kodak Corporation. This continues a five-year trend of downsizing. This latest round will cut another 6,000 workers loose, or another 9% of its workforce.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Handy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Today's New York Times headline, Computer voting is open to easy fraud, experts say. I just wrote an article about this. In fact, I spent the whole last week researching this topic, and I got a pile of information on this. You'll probably see this thing popping up around the web this weekend or next week. I'm going to be out of the loop because I'm not even sure I'll have access to a computer next week. But we'll get it out. Anyhow, here's from the beginning of this article in New York Times by John Schwartz, today's New York Times, and I quote, "The software that runs many high-tech voting machines contains serious flaws that would allow voters to cast extra votes and prevent poll workers to alter ballots without being detected," computer security researchers said yesterday. Now, here's where all this started. Bev Harris. Our question, of course, is the theft of your vote just a chip away? Bev Harris, following up, I don't know if she started this or if she was following up on, I think she was working with Lynn Landis. They were friends. Got into this thing of these computerized voting machines a few years back. And Lynn has a website. Her website is ecotalk.org, and an enormous amount of good information on there. Bev Harris's website is blackboxvoting.com, and she has a book coming out. It's supposed to come out this month, although Amazon's not showing it as shipping yet, but you can pre-order it from her website at blackboxvoting.com. Anyway, they started digging into this stuff, and Bev was just like, you know, floating around the Internet using Google. This was maybe, I don't know, 6-8 months ago or so. In fact, right about the time she discovered this, I was doing a radio talk show here in Vermont, and we had her on as a guest. I think it was the week that she discovered it, because she was just stunned. I mean, she was just using Google and Googling the names of the voting machine companies. And on one of these voting machine companies, she hit their site, and she was just like digging through it, as anybody can do. And she found a link that said FTP. She clicked on it, and boom, here's an FTP site, and there's all these files. And the files are the software that runs the voting machines for this company. And in addition to that, there were apparently even some files that were vote records. And there was this one file called Rob Georgia that was of particular interest to her, since Georgia has gone in the last election, in the 2002 election, to 100% touchscreen voting machines from this particular vendor in large part, and that leave no paper trail. And, well, here, for example, on November 3rd, 2002, this is, what, 1, 2, 3 days before the election? I don't recall which day. I think the election was the 5th in 2002. On November 3rd, USA Today, quote, In Georgia, an Atlanta Journal-Constitution poll shows Democratic Senator Max Cleland with a 49-44% lead over Republican Representative Saxby Chambliss. 49-44. That's not the kind of lead that closes up in the last day or two. I don't care what's going on. You know, unless they catch the guy in some incredibly compromising position. Cox News Service points out, and now after the election, Cox News Service says, this is on November 7th, pollsters may have goofed because Republican Representative Saxby Chambliss defeated incumbent Democratic Senator Max Cleland by a margin of 53-46%. The hotline of Political News Service recalled a series of polls Wednesday showing that Chambliss had been ahead in none of them. Now, here you've got Max Cleland, one of the Senate's, I am not exaggerating this, truly great war heroes. This guy lost three of his four limbs in the Vietnam War. One of America's truly great, he lost both legs and one arm in the Vietnam War, and he is an expert on defense. He was on all the various Senate committees that had to do with the military and defense. He knew this stuff inside out. And here comes Saxby Chambliss, this guy who was a draft dodger. He got out of the Vietnam War with a medical deferment. Now, that in and of itself, in my book, doesn't disqualify anybody for anything, frankly. I knew a lot of people who didn't particularly want to be in Vietnam, and would count myself among them for that matter. But the point is that those people are not presenting themselves as more patriotic than Max Cleland. And Saxby Chambliss ran a series of ads in which he just came right flat out and said Max Cleland was not patriotic enough to be in the United States. Outrageous. But somehow, suddenly, even though all the polls show he's losing, Saxby Chambliss wins. But it gets even weirder. We'll get to that in just a second. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to drop into the program today and say hello. 1-800-825-5937. And Chris in Albuquerque, New Mexico is on the line. Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. Good show, as always.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Uday and Kusei, when I'd found that or heard that the American Army had found their bodies, my first question was, well, were their pockets filled with Nigerian uranium? If not, right. I really don't care. One way or another. I don't think very many people are going to care in any case. You know, one of the greater prevarications coming out of the Bush administration and the Pentagon is that all of the assaults and murders committed on American troops in Iraq are being committed by, quote, Saddam loyalists or Ba'ath Party.
Right.
You know, there are
end timers.
Yeah. There are several groups that have come forward publicly claiming responsibility for killing our service people that have very little or nothing to do with Saddam Hussein.
Who are active opponents of Saddam Hussein.
Correct. You know, the Pentagon wants to make it seem, of course, as if it is George W. against Saddam. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm sure that there is some of that is true, but the fact is, a great deal of this is being perpetrated by people who simply don't want to be occupied by the United States of America. Therefore, it'll become, you know, George W. versus the Iraqi people. The Viet Cong, that whole subset rears its ugly head. A lot of the killings are, I believe, simply people opposed to being occupied.
As they were in the 1920s and 1930s when the British tried to occupy
there.
Iraq.
Yes,
and as they
absolutely.
Were all the way back 2,000 years that this country has been occupied by various people, and this exact same thing has happened.
And it gives lie to this idea somehow that if they show pictures of, you know, Uday Kusei or even Saddam, that our military people are not going to be under threat anymore. It's a ridiculous supposition.
It is. I agree with you. I agree with you, Chris. Thanks for the call and thanks for making that point. I appreciate it very much. This is, you know, it's being billed as the great event, you know, isn't it? And no, it's just this is just a burp along the way. Our question today is the theft of your vote just a chip away. I want to get back to that, but we got Woody in Beaumont, Texas, on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES. Woody, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Hey, just to add a little bit to your commentary, and I am extremely interested in hearing about this computer thing. I'm a loyal NRA member, as you might imagine, and I can tell you unequivocally the NRA went gunning for Cleland in a big way in all their publications. And after the election, they took big credit for Saxby Chambliss winning about their grassroots operations to get the people out to vote. I mean, basically what I'm saying is the NRA was really, really shooting for Cleland, and they put maximum effort and financing into it, and they took full credit for his loss when it was all said.
Yeah, well, you would expect them. You'd expect them to do that, Woody. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you sharing that. And of course, you know, what is the old saying? Victory has a thousand sons, and defeat has none. Everybody is going to claim that they had this victory, but the reality is that none of the polls showed that. And if the NRA was having any effect at all, and they did have substantial effect, I mean, Saxley Chambliss came from nowhere up to, you know, 44%, which is, you know, respectable, but nonetheless. So then, similarly, Cox News reported on November 7th, no polls predicted the upset victory in Georgia of Republican Sonny Perdue over incumbent Governor Roy Barnes. Perdue won by a margin of 52-45%, but the most recent Mason-Dixon poll, and this was taken just before the election, showed the incumbent, very popular Democratic governor of Georgia, which has had Democratic governors going back for 200 years, showed Barnes ahead 48-39%. So how does this guy, Sonny Perdue, who's only got 39% of the vote in the polls, a couple of days before the elections, suddenly win? And again, Saxby Chambliss, way behind in the polls, suddenly wins. Well, it turns out that some of the memory cards in some of the computerized machines in Fulton County, heavily Democratic Fulton County, downtown Atlanta, most populous area in Georgia, vanished. They got misplaced. And from all over the state, there were these memory cards that had votes on them that they couldn't find for a couple of days. Amazing. Strangest thing. 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. John in Long Beach, California. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? I'm calling back.
I am great.
I talked to you the other day. You asked me to call back if I had anything else to add.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to touch on the subject of the voting machines. And I don't know how many different places those voting machines are used, but my understanding is a federal law is you cannot even open up those machines to see what's going on, even with a court
order.
Right.
That's right. The way it works, John, is that the machines are purchased by the local state governments, and so in theory they're owned by we, the people. But the software that runs on the machines is only licensed by them. It's owned by these for-profit corporations, one of the largest of which, by the way, was initially in its startup funded by a very wealthy family of philanthropists in the Midwest who believe that the Bible should replace the Constitution in ruling the United States and are extremely active in the Republican Party. And the head of that voting machine company, by the way, was Chuck Hagel, who had been with the Bush administration, the first Bush administration in Washington, D.C., lived in Washington, D.C. for years, moved out to Kansas, worked for this voting machine company for a few years, ran the voting machine company, and then quit his job to run for the United States Senate and scored upset victories across the state in Nebraska, and upset victories. In fact, the Washington Post said it was. Go ahead, John.
Tom?
Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing is I wanted to touch on also is the Hussein's sons getting killed.
Yeah.
I listened a little bit on C-SPAN last night, and this military individual, I don't know if he was a colonel or a general or what, but he was talking about how they had fired 10, not one, but 10 TOW missiles into the residence where these people were.
Yeah.
Now, TOW missiles, isn't that fired? And their shoulder held like a bazooka type thing?
I thought that they had brought in an aircraft. I mean,
they were going to, but he said they changed their mind on that.
I see.
But 10 TOW, I think one TOW missile in your living room would run your whole day.
Yeah.
If he fired 10 TOW missiles into that residence, I don't see how there could be anything left there to identify.
Yeah. Well, and that's what a lot of people in Iraq are saying, and that's why this administration, and John, thanks for the call and thanks for the point. That's why this administration is under so much pressure to release the pictures and why they're doing it, and, you know, there's going to be a feeding frenzy on that. The back to the voting machines. Almost all of the votes in Georgia were recorded on the new touchscreen computerized voting machines. And on November 8th, the Atlanta Constitution Journal reported that 67 memory cards from 67 electronic voting machines had been misplaced. Here's a quote from the newspaper. Election officials said Thursday that memory cards from 67 electronic voting machines had been misplaced, so ballots cast on those machines were left out of previously announced totals. They later found them. Who knows what happens while they were gone? Similarly, the San Jose Mercury News reported an editorial on 23 January 2003. In one Florida precinct in last November, votes that were intended for the Democratic candidate for governor ended up for Governor George Bush because of a misaligned touchscreen. How many votes were miscast before the mistake was found will never be known because there was no paper trail. I would add that misaligned touchscreens, as they call this scam, also caused 18 known machines in Dallas to register Republican votes when Democratic screen buttons were pushed, and who knows how many others there were. There were just 18 machines that were reported loudly and strongly enough that they got pulled out of service. Here's an article from the Dallas Morning News, November 7th, just a couple of days after the 2002 election. Quote, a defective computer chip in the county's optical scanner misread ballots Tuesday night and incorrectly tallied a landslide victory for Republicans. Now, Republicans would not have carried the day, by the way, had not poll workers become suspicious when the computerized vote reading machine said the Republican candidate was trouncing his incumbent Democratic opponent in the race for county commissioner. The poll workers, who were close enough to the electorate, they were part of the electorate, to know that their county was overwhelmingly Democratic, looked at these numbers and said, there's something wrong here. They pulled out the ballots, and they hand-counted them. And the Democrat won. I mean, this is a small county in Texas. And this is in Snyder, Texas. And the race for the Republican county, and the machine that kept saying the Republican won. So they called the voting machine company, and they said, we count these ballots by hand. It says the Democrat won. We run them through your scanning machine, and it says the Republican won. We got a problem here. So the company flies in a new computer chip. And to quote from the Associated Press, a new computer chip was flown to Snyder, Texas from Dallas, end quote. With the new chip installed, the computer decided that the Democrat had indeed won the race. In another Texas race, Senator Jeff Wentworth won his race with exactly 18,181 votes. Republican Carter Castile won her House seat with exactly 18,181 votes. And conservative Judge Danny Scheel won his seat with exactly 18,181 votes, all in Comal County. Nobody there, though, thought to ask for a new chip. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Is the theft of your vote just a chip away? With the Tom Hartman Program on IE.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Never let go of your dreams. That is our hope, the vision of democracy in America, the dream, Jefferson's dream being revived in America. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network. Tom Hartman with you, broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take those our question here is the theft of your vote, just a chip away. If you take that 18181, the number of votes that three different candidates, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes...
Very strange.
Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence? One state where Republicans did ask for a new chip was Alabama. By the way, before I get onto Alabama, the two states where it really looks like the computerized voting machines in the last election, where the conspiracy theorists are saying there's a real problem, are Georgia and Minnesota, because the polls were so clear about who was going to win, the Democrat in both cases, and in both cases the Republicans won against all the polls, and this is what threw the Senate to the Republicans in 2002. Remember Walter Mondale filling in for Paul Wellstone? Here's a quote from the Star Tribune in Minnesota. Quote, dramatic political developments since Paul Wellstone's death Friday have had little effect on voters' leanings in the U.S. Senate race, according to the Star Tribune Minnesota poll taken Monday night. Wellstone's likely replacement on the ballot, former Vice President Walter Mondale, leads Republican Norm Coleman by 47-39%, close to where the race stood 2 weeks ago when Wellstone led Coleman by 47-41%. But who won the election when the computerized machines added it up? The Republican Coleman. Here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Mac in Santa Fe, hang on the line. We'll take your call after the top of the hour.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
you
have something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Before the Pentagon released photos of Saddam Hussein's dead sons today, a group of masked Iraqis promised if the brothers are in fact dead, their vengeance on American soldiers would be, quote, brutal. The men appeared on an Arab television channel today saying they'll continue what they call their holy struggle against the enemy. The tape showed up just hours after three soldiers with the 101st Airborne Division were killed near Mosul. The 101st is the unit that staged the attack that killed Saddam Hussein's sons. A congressional report on intelligence gathering practices before the September 11th attacks is being released today formally. Many who've already seen that report say it shows a significant lapse in cooperation and communication between intelligence agencies before the attacks took place. Florida Democratic Senator Bob Graham told The Early Show today the report also pinpoints just how important personal intelligence needs to be in the United States.
It goes to the issue of what kind of intelligence are we going to need to be effective in the war against terrorism, and it's increasingly going to be the old-fashioned spies, a human being who can get inside those organizations, find out what their plans are, and be able to then attack them militarily.
One of the signs reportedly missed before the attacks was when one of the two suspected September 11th hijackers lived in San Diego. The review says the FBI linked them to al-Qaeda days before the attacks, but by then it was in fact too late. President Bush was in Philadelphia today, patting himself on the back for his recently passed tax cut plan. He said checks totaling $12 billion will soon be on their way to about 25 million Americans and their families.
We promised tax reductions for the good of American families and for the good of our economy. And we delivered on that promise. And soon, the mail carrier will be delivering the checks that we promised to the American people.
The president also admitted the deficit has been growing due to decreased federal income and spending to support troops in Iraq. He said with economic growth and spending discipline, he is confident that he will be able to cut the deficit in half in a matter of 5 years.
Hey, watch it.
Down in front. Hey, we made it.
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Quiet.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask around.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
A New Hampshire man has pleaded not guilty now to 2 counts of first-degree murder in the apparent deaths of his 11-year-old son and 14-year-old daughter. Manuel Gehring was arraigned this morning on charges he shot the children and buried them somewhere in the Midwest. Police are still searching for signs of the bodies along sections of Interstate 80. California Governor Gray Davis says he won't be leaving office without a fight. Davis is targeted now in an election recall effort after critics did gather the necessary number of signatures required to force the vote. That recall could now take place in September or possibly early October.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
A simulated terrorist attack, be it chemical or biological, is underway at the Pentagon at this hour. More from correspondent Allison Brown.
The Pentagon Force Protection Agency is now responding to a mock chemical or biological attack in a parking lot right next to the Pentagon. Would-be first responders, if this was the real deal, already in action. Earlier, fire hoses shot out water, creating a gigantic decontamination shower for mock victims. The victim volunteers acted disoriented, some screaming. The exercise, though, appears to be on track. Allison Brown at the Pentagon, Arlington, Virginia.
And the U.S. Marine has pleaded guilty now to charges of raping a woman in Okinawa. A U.S. Forces spokesman says Lance Corporal Jose Torres pleaded guilty today in his first court session of the trial. Torres was arrested in June on suspicion of raping a 19-year-old Japanese woman and was later indicted by prosecutors. Court official says the next court date for Torres is set for August 13th. The case has stirred fresh resentment against the U.S. military presence on Okinawa. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Years ago, a small hard drive meant a trafficy physical commute. Today, it's the curse of telecommuting. But however you get to work, I'll pave the way with some timely maintenance tips when we come back.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
Whether you commute to work via old-fashioned blacktop or the Internet superhighway, automotive maintenance will give you more time for fun. Just remember, give me five. One, once a year, treat your vehicle to an annual inspection. Two, every 2 years, change brake fluid. Three, it's time for an oil service every 3,000 miles. Four, mark your calendar every 4 years for new radiator hoses. And five, rotate tires every 5,000 miles. Now, take five, away from your busy job to enjoy a cruise in your well-maintained vehicle. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you.
rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded? This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to our program on the IE America Radio Network. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live across America on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting live from the depths of outer space on the Sirius Satellite Radio Network, Sirius Channel 145, streaming audio on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org, and archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And I just want to put to sleep, put to bed one of these persistent myths, let's say, to be charitable, of the cons. One of the great con myths is that liberals only want to make you dependent on the government. I have heard this as a mantra for so long. It's just, and you know, it has a certain nice ring to it. You know, Social Security. Get those Social Security checks, dependent on the government. Well, actually, I think Social Security is insurance. We pay into it, and we get back out based on what we pay in, by and large. Well, what about welfare? Okay, dependent on. And that's what it's all about. It's all about making people dependent on the government so they'll vote for liberals. Well, let me ask you a question. Unless you own your own, you know, 100 acres out in prime farmland someplace where you can completely feed yourself, clothe yourself, spin your own wool and everything else, do you want to be in a situation where no matter what happens to you, if you get sick, if you lose your job, if there's some kind of a disaster, floods, drought, that the only people you can fall back on are corporations? Because those are your choices. The cons try to evoke this image of the noble American out there, you know, on the prairies, stealing land from the Indians and, you know, carving a new life out of the American Indian. Well, maybe in 1810, maybe even in 1840, but not today. Sorry. You get to choose. Because the reality is that we are all going to get old someday. Or we're going to get sick someday. Some of us, it's going to happen. Both are going to happen. And when you get old or when you get sick, or if you encounter really serious hard times, you know, half the bankruptcies in America today, we're experiencing more bankruptcies as a percentage of our population today, right now in 2003, than we did at the depths of the Great Depression. And half of all the bankruptcies today are the result of people being completely wiped out to the point of losing their homes and everything by medical expenses. So here's the choice. Do you want to have a system? Do you want to live in a system of government? Do you want to live in a nation where we all collectively say, we all are going to get sick and we are all going to get old and die someday, and we all collectively are going to put something into the pot so that when the time comes that we get old and die, or if the time comes that we get sick, or if the time comes, God forbid, that we lose our job or fall on hard times, that there's some cushion that we can land on. As is the case in every industrialized country in the world except the United States. If you want to live in that kind of a world, or do you want to live in the kind of a world where private corporations say to you, well, if you get sick, or if you get old, or if you lose your job, did you pay us insurance payments on which we made a 10 or 20 or 30% profit? Sorry, I just needed to get that out. Mac in Santa Fe, 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. Mac in Santa Fe is on the line. Mac, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey,
he did a beautiful job of spelling out the problem and the crime as far as the machines are concerned.
Oh, and I just...
But the question that I have is, what's the follow-up? Who's the watchdog? How do we prevent this kind of crime?
Perfect question, and I've got the answer for you right here.
Good deal.
Imagine it's Election Day 2004, says U.S. Congressman Rush Holt. He also has a Ph.D. in physics, and he's a congressman from New Jersey. He's a Democrat. He says, and I quote, "You enter your local polling place and go to cast your vote on a brand-new touchscreen voting machine. The screen says your vote has been counted. As you exit the voting booth, however, you begin to wonder, how do I know if the machine actually recorded my vote?" The fact is, Rush Holt says, you don't know. And this is a United States congressman. He has introduced legislation to change this. The fact is that the HAVA Act, Help America Vote Act, which allocated billions of dollars for states to put these machines in, under which Georgia and Florida and Nebraska and all these other states have put these machines in, requires that a commission be set up that sets standards for the voting machines. And the reality is that the commissioner was supposed to have been appointed last year by the President of the United States. And the commission was supposed to be looking into this. That commission has not been appointed. It does not exist. There are no standards. So the legislators are starting to take this into their own hands. There's a lot of people, Mac, very concerned about this. And you're seeing the reality of that in that today in the New York Times, in the first section of the New York Times, on page 8 or 9 or so, there's a substantial article about this. So this is a topic. I first wrote about this in Common Dreams 8 or 9 months ago. Nobody was talking about it. And now it's starting to get some currency. I'm hopeful about this.
So culpability has been established.
Well, the problem, at least, has been established. I don't think that anybody has yet charged explicitly that the vote was stolen in Georgia and in Minnesota, although there is a website in New Zealand, actually, called The Scoop, that did a statistical analysis of the polls versus the outcomes in every state in the United States. And there were two states where the vote swung 8, 10, 12, 14 points in favor of the Republicans in the last day of the election when in every other state it didn't. And those two states were the ones that took the United States Senate, and that's where in Minnesota where Mondale lost, and in Georgia where Saxby Chambliss beat Max Cleland, and strange
well,
things.
It's so. Up to us as individual voters to do some pre-work.
I'm hopeful, and to lobby. I called the Secretary of State's office here in Vermont and said, do you know about this? And they actually didn't know. And so I told them about it. I called my county commissioner, my county clerk's office here in the town where I live. And I said, hey, did you know about this problem? She's like, no, I didn't know about that. And I said, well, let me tell you about it. I encourage you to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm also hopeful that a group like MoveOn.org or some other group will get a burr under their tail about this thing and get the message out, because we need to wake up as many people as we can to the fact that democracy itself is at risk of being stolen electronically. Mac, thanks for the call. I appreciate your call, and always nice to hear from you. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut's on the line. Tim, is the theft of your vote just a chip away?
Oh, absolutely. I think perhaps the biggest problem is so many people are asleep on this. But two quick things about the elections and stuff. As someone who studied polling in college and who also was actively involved in the grassroots of politics, in Minnesota's case, Walter Mondale ran a terrible, terrible race, and that debacle that they had that caused such a national backlash at the memorial for Wellstone put a very, very bad taste in the campaign. And, you know, it was neck and neck with Wellstone and Coleman even before that. So having the kind of debacle, and then
Let me correct you, Tim. That's the story that you'll hear from Rush Limbaugh, and that's the story that the national news is portraying. But you talk to people who live in Minnesota, and you get a very different story.
No, but it was a targeted race, and there were millions. And also Georgia, people also forget that because the Republicans targeted Cynthia McKinney, also, a lot of urban and black voters did not show up in Georgia because they...
I know all that, but what these folks are saying is that in these two states... The polls, right up until the last day, were showing that the Democrats were way ahead, and suddenly the Republicans won.
Yeah, and that, but also the practicality of getting out the vote is something that the Republicans have been doing a far, far better job of actually doing. You know, people getting response on the phone or something is one
may
thing.
Well
Napoleon.
Be, Tim. I hope you are right. I hope you are right. And I am not alleging a conspiracy here or, you know, and I don't think the voting machine companies, frankly, had anything to do with this. I think if there was a hacking that happened, it happened from either people who worked for the machine companies but without the knowledge of the companies or from outsiders. But anyhow, your point.
Well, also, what is open code sourcing that I've heard some people talking about?
Great question.
That, you know, I've heard some people talking about that and stuff. Obviously, having some sort of printed receipt is another thing that I've also heard people talking about.
Yeah,
that sort
of thing.
These are
put forward as the two solutions, Tim. Tim, thanks for the call. Let me just give you the quick answer here. Open source code means the way it works right now is the voting machine companies write the software and they own it, and they say therefore you the people do not have the right to inspect it. Your computer scientists don't have the right to inspect it. You don't have the right to know how our computer software works. And in other nations where there are computerized machines, in Australia, for example, they use open code software. That means that the code is in the public domain. It's like Linux versus Microsoft Windows. So that's about open code. And then the receipt thing is that some folks are suggesting that the solution to this problem is that when you go in and touch a screen and vote, that the machine then generates a paper receipt that says you voted for so and so and so and so and so and so, and those, and then you take that paper receipt and you look at it and you read it and you say, yep, those are the buttons I pushed, and then you go and you hand that to a poll watcher who puts it in a box, and then if that vote is contested, they can pull those paper ballots out and count them. Now, interestingly, right after the 2002 election, Charlie Matulka sued Chuck Hagel, saying that there was hanky-panky in the voter machines. And so the Republicans in Nebraska passed a law saying that it's illegal, this is what Charlie Matulka told me, that it's illegal for election officials to look at paper ballots in Nebraska now. And there are other states that are looking at this. So I don't think that's going to stand. I really don't. So those are the two things, open source code and printed receipts as a way of getting through that. The final thing in my mind is to say that if there are going to be corporations involved, well, frankly, I don't think there should be corporations involved in our voting. They can sell products to the government, but I think that the governments need to be owning all of these things. Governments absolutely need to be in control of it, because the government is us, and it's subject then to the adversarial process of the two-party system, or the multiple-party system, that is to say that you can have poll watch, and this is what happened during the civil rights movement, and the whole, where you can have people come in and say, is this honest or is it not? We got Margaret in Santa Fe, Greg in New Mexico, and Michael in New York on the line. We'll get to your calls right after this break. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few minutes. Is the theft of your vote just a chip away?
This is the Smarter Living Update, brought to you by Life Quotes, offering consumers free quotes on low-cost life insurance.
Term life insurance rates are up to half of what they were just 6 years ago. That means you could be paying up to 50% too much. Thanks to Life Quotes, now you can find a low-cost policy from a top-rated insurance company without ever having to meet with a life insurance salesman.
To receive a free quote, call Life Quotes today at 800-670-LIFE. That's 800-670-LIFE. Or visit us at lifequotes.com. Policies available in most states.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, Tom Baudette for Motel 6. Dog owners will be happy to know whether your best friend is a purebred show dog or the lovably mixed-up product of a neighborhood indiscretion. They're equally welcome at Motel 6. No judgments here. So put the old Cocker Chow Labrador mix in the back seat and hit the road. But first call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 or visit motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And Accor Hotel.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden, no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Democracy going to last in America? Is the theft of your vote just a chip away? This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Margaret and Greg appear to have dropped off the line. Michael is still here. Michael in New York, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. I just say, I just really appreciate your show.
Thank you.
What I do for a living is I'm a consultant. I design database systems, mainly setting up SQL servers and Oracle servers. And a lot of my work actually is to help companies integrate Microsoft Access into their systems. They use it as a front end. And the only reason why I'm bringing this all up is that I've looked at the voting machine software because I read so much about it back on July 8th. There was a New Zealand website that reported this system was
right. The out. Scoop.
The biggest thing was
Bev Harris's story.
Yeah. That's right. The big thing that surprised me was that apparently that these programs are using Microsoft Access as the data storage program.
Right.
And Microsoft Access is the worst program to secure your data. If a client comes to me and asks me to store credit card information in Microsoft Access, I refuse to do it. Because it is, a third grader could break into Microsoft Access. So if somebody told me or if somebody had hired me to design a system that could easily be hacked into, easily be changed, easily hide all the tracks of some ne'er-do-well, I would design it with Microsoft Access in mind. Now, I don't want to make it sound like I'm blaming Bill Gates for this. Microsoft Access is not the tool you'd want to use the job. I compare it to... if you're going to go out on a driving trip through the woods, you might want to get an SUV. Microsoft Access for database management is kind of like a Geo Metro.
It's a consumer product. It's a consumer-based database. It's not something that's a heavy industrial database like the one that Oracle makes or
exactly.
I'm forgetting the name of the other big one out there.
And you definitely should not trust Microsoft Access with something as sacred and as important as tallying votes. Just the Microsoft Access part of the thing would, in my mind, make me extremely suspicious about any results that were counted. And one of the things I'm going to do now that I've learned about what happened in Minnesota and Georgia is I'm going to do some research and sign on to some team investigating this, because I just can't believe that somebody would, any designer, any database designer who would design Microsoft Access for something like this, I just can't believe they would have good intentions. Now, of course, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But.
Well, this is one of the problems, and you've really identified one of the problems here, Michael. I think, and thank you for the call and the comment. First of all, let me point you to a website, www.votewatch.us. Has a great compilation of stuff on it. In addition, of course, there's Bev's website, which is blackboxvoting.com, Lynn Landis's website, which is ecotalk.org, and Maria Mercury's website, which is notablesoftware.com. But here's the thing. Whenever you take the commons, whenever you take something that we collectively hold together, we the people, whether it's our healthcare system, whether it's our education system, whether it's our roads, whether it's our police department, our fire departments, the way that it works, it's like Medicare. Medicare operates on a 3% overhead. $3 out of 100 sticks to the fingers of the administrators. Private health insurance has a 24% overhead. Now, they're actually delivering health care more efficiently at 2.5% cost. Why 24%? Because 20.5% is going to pay multimillion dollar salaries to CEOs, dividends to stockholders, private planes, the fleets of fancy cars, fancy headquarters, marketing costs. So whenever you privatize, whenever you put in the hands of private corporations the public good, the public wealth, the commonwealth, you run the risk that those corporations are going to cut corners in order to make profits, because their first goal is to make profits, which is a wonderful thing for somebody in business, but not a good thing with the public good. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense in the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The Great Lakes region of the United States might see great changes as the Earth's climate heats up. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The lakes, woods, and prairies that reach from Minnesota to New York are in for big changes over the next 50 to 100 years. That's according to a recent study by the Union of Concerned Scientists and the Ecological Society of America. Scientists who worked on the study predict that global warming will fundamentally alter the character of the Great Lakes states, and they say our emissions from burning coal and oil play a big role in these predictions. Suzanne Moser contributed to the report. She's a climate change specialist with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
I can tell you two things about our findings. One is that the projected emissions and the accompanying warming is far outside the experience that we've had over at least the last 10,000 years. So even if it's not as bad as what our middle-of-the-road kinds of emission scenarios project, it's still far worse than anything that we have seen over this long time period.
Moser says the study is the most sophisticated and up-to-date model ever produced for the Great Lakes region. It estimates that by the end of the 21st century, temperatures in the region will rise by 5 to 12 degrees Fahrenheit in winter and 5 to 20 degrees in summer. The study details hundreds of possible consequences. Great Lakes water levels could drop, wetlands could shrink and small streams dry up, and fish like walleye and northern pike could disappear from their southern ranges. Moser says it's too late to avoid some of these changes. She says we can minimize them, and that would mean reducing emissions from fossil fuels and cutting other impacts on the environment. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
To the Tom Hartman Program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is our number. And Greg in New Mexico had asked, why don't Democrats get the benefit of the voting machines? It seems like they're spinning the elections towards the Republicans. Well, as a matter of fact, in one state they did, and this was Alabama. As Fox News reported on the 8th of November, right after the elections, after that initial returns from across the state showed that a Democratic incumbent governor, Don Siegelman, had won the governor's race. They gave it to him. But overnight, and I quote from Fox News, Baldwin County took center stage when election officials released results Tuesday night showing Siegelman with 19,070 votes, enough for a narrow victory statewide. Later, they recounted and reduced Siegelman's tally to 12,736 votes, enough to give Republican Riley the victory, end quote. What produced the sudden loss of 6,000 votes? According to the Fox News report, quote, probate judge Adrian Johns, a member of the county canvassing board, blamed the initial higher number on, that is the number that gave the Democrat the election, on, quote, a programming glitch in the software that tallies the votes, end quote. So the Republicans came in and corrected the machine, and suddenly the Republican won. Fox News added, and I quote, the governor, this is the Democrat who lost, the governor claimed results were changed after the poll watchers left, end quote. Turns out that the glitch in the software in Alabama was discovered by the Republican National Committee's regional director, a woman named Kelly McCullough, who, according to a story by Rachel DiCarlo in the conservative Daily Standard, quote, logged on to the county's municipal website and confirmed that incumbent Democratic Governor Siegelman had actually only received 12,736 votes, not the 19,070 votes the AP projected for him. A computer glitch caused the error. The erroneous tally would have put Siegelman on top by 3,582 votes, but the corrected one gave Riley a 2,752 vote edge, end quote. As the Daily Standard noted, quote, if it hadn't been for one woman, the Republican National Committee's regional director, Kelly McCullough, things might have gone terribly wrong for Republican gubernatorial candidate Riley. So, you know, it's cuts both ways. And that's why I think members of both parties are getting concerned about this. Let's move on. Is Iraq going to be George Bush's Watergate? When we go back and we look at the very few pages that have been released as a result of Larry Klayman and Judicial Watch's lawsuit against the Dick Cheney energy policy meeting that happened in March of 2001, 6 months before 9/11. when he met with oil industry executives, and you can see this on JudicialWatch.org's website. They have maps of all the oil fields in Iraq, and they have a list of countries and oil companies around the world that might be interested in buying Iraqi oil, and they've parceled out which parts of the Iraqi oil would go to which countries on which basis. This was the Vice President's Energy Task Force meeting in March of 2001. This just came out last week. And it's amazing to me how little play this is getting in the media, given that the same organization, Larry Klayman's Judicial Watch, was the one that broke the Jennifer Flowers lawsuit that ended up bringing down Bill Clinton. And that got a lot of press. Same organization, same people doing the same kind of research and the same kind of lawsuit. This is not, nobody's touched this thing yet. But in any case, so we've got back in March of 2001, Dick Cheney is already parceling up the oil in Iraq and figuring out which companies are going to get it. And then, of course, they got to come up with a reason to go after it. And 9/11 happens. And as George Bush says, I hit the trifecta, as he said to Mitch Daniel. And General Wesley Clark on CNN said the afternoon of 9/11, he got a phone call from somebody in the White House, a person he has yet to identify, who told him, we have to pin this thing on Saddam Hussein. And Wesley Clark said, well, show me some proof. I'll go along with you. And there was this, and they said, well, we don't have any proof. But we got to pin it on him anyway. And in those days, as we documented on a program a few days ago, in those days between 9/11, 9/12, 9/13, 9/14, and 9/15, in the first 5 days after 9/11, there is a whole series of press conferences and meetings with the press that were held by senior administration officials, members of this administration, and the neocon, you know, William Crystal, other neocon hawks, saying on network television that in their opinion, Saddam Hussein was behind this or had something to do with it, which might have something to do with why more than half of Americans think that Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11, and over a third of Americans think that the planes were piloted by Iraqis, when it's now been proven that Saddam Hussein had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11, and that there were, of course, we've always known all along, it was mostly Saudis on the plane. There wasn't a single Iraqi anywhere in sight. But they had to spin this thing. And so we've got this, I mean, you know, on BuzzFlash today, it's not 16 words in the president's State of the Union address. There's 720 words constituting 24 specific lies. And they break them out. And I've got the list here, but I don't want to go off that far off topic. We'll deal with this later on. But in any case, so here's the time. Is this gonna melt down like Watergate? See, remember with Watergate, the problem wasn't that Nixon was doing dirty tricks. I mean, that was happening. He had this unit, he had these guys, and it was run by H.R. Haldeman out of the White House, and Nixon knew about it. He had these guys. They decided early on they did not want to run against Ed Muskie, because Muskie, according to the polls, could beat Richard Nixon. So they wanted to run against George McGovern. So they had to take Muskie out. So they had guys shadowing Muskie with phony letterhead from the Democratic National Committee. They wrote this phony letter where Muskie was calling somebody a Canuck and all this kind of stuff. And they brought down Muskie with dirty tricks, well documented now. Nobody disputes this. So they got to run against the guy they wanted to run against. And this was part of a very large operation of political sabotage, this breaking into the Watergate. But it wasn't that that got Nixon into trouble. What got Nixon into trouble was covering it up when he got caught. Well, let me get in. I'll continue with this in just a second, but let me just take a call here. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Linda in Cupertino is on the line. Linda, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Good to hear from you again. I agree. I think that we should put this on a scatter map or whatever those are called when you're plotting things on a graph. We should put 9/11... And we should add the Cheney Energy Task Force. And then we should add the California Energy Market Crisis. And then we should add the invasion of Iraq. I mean, these are things that you could put on a chart and find a nexus where they would all meet, and they would all have a commonality and a common goal. This is why, you know, the Energy Task Force lawsuit is finally going through, which is being pushed by a Judicial Watch and the Sierra Club. And it's an excellent opportunity for us to find out what happened that will probably take us right back in the 911 investigation of things that are missing from this report.
Yeah, I agree with you, Linda. Thanks for the comment and thanks for the call. I do appreciate that. And, in fact, here is the actual conversation that H.R. Haldeman had in the White House with Nixon, in which he says, we need to stop the FBI in their investigation. Now, keep in mind, the 9/11 report that just came out had all the Saudi stuff redacted. Listen to this, where H.R. Haldeman...
On the investigation, you know, the Democratic break-in thing, we're back to, in the problem area because the FBI
on the investigation,
is not under control because Gray doesn't exactly
Investigation of the Democratic break-in.
Their investigation is now leading into some productive areas because they've been able to trace the money, not through the money itself, but through the bank.
So he's talking about how they've been able to trace the money and the problem that we have.
And it goes some directions we don't want to go. Also, there have been some things like an informant came in off the street to the FBI.
His informant came in off the street in Miami and had some information for the FBI.
We developed some films for this guy, Parker, and the films had pictures of Democratic National Committee letterhead.
The pictures of the Democratic National Committee letterhead there he's talking about, that was the Dirty Tricks operation against Ed Muskie.
Documents. So he's got, there's things like that that are filtering in. Mitchell came up with yesterday.
This is the killer.
And John Dean analyzed very carefully last night and concurs now with Mitchell's recommendation that the only way to solve this, and we're set up beautifully to do it.
And he says, with Mitchell's recommendation, with the recommendation of the Attorney General of the United States, the only way to solve this...
In that, the only network that paid any attention to last night was NBC, who did a massive story on the Cuban thing and all.
The networks are still looking at this.
That the way to handle this now is for us to have Walters call Pat Gray.
Call Pat Gray, the head of the FBI.
And just say, stay the hell out of this. There's business here we don't want you going any further on. That's not an unusual development. And that would take care of it.
And that would take care of it. If we went to the head of the FBI, Pat Gray, and said, just get out of this thing, and we'll just look at the timeline of this thing. In the meantime, let me just take a break here with Adam, 1-800-TALK-YES. Adam has called in Alabama. Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
First, but I just find it that you guys are really, really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk, what do they have, 150,000 troops overseas now, more than that? They would risk their lives to make money? I mean, you must think that these guys are really, really, really evil people.
Adam, I'm not suggesting that they're doing it to make money. I'm not suggesting that they're doing it to make money.
Well, you said let's plot September 11th with this energy policy, with this. Your last caller mentioned that.
Yep,
and what you're implying by plotting these is that these guys said, when you said earlier that, hey, if you can produce the evidence, I'll follow it. I mean that
Adam, let me lay it out for you. Let me tell you exactly what I'm saying, because I've said it before on this program, and I'm it's very clear in my mind. And these guys, they, if you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, which Dick Cheney was part of, and Wolfowitz and Abrams and all these guys, they all signed on to this thing. What they were saying basically is that if we are going to have an energy policy in the United States that is driven by oil, If we, you know, Ronald Reagan's first official act of office was to take the solar collectors off the roof of the White House that Jimmy Carter had put on there because he was so beholden to the oil industry. If we're not, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then we are, our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East. They just laid this right out. They said, first we need to take Iraq, then we need to take Syria, then we need to take Iran. And if we do that, we can secure our oil supplies and we can terrify Saudi Arabia into not having OPEC denominate oil in euros or playing games with us anymore. And I believe that they think that this is the best thing for America.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they have stated in a policy and in a
This is what they said. This is what they said. It's right there. You can read it on the internet. It was Project for a New American Century. I mean, there have been books written about this. This has been in Time magazine, and this isn't some conspiracy.
People have written books on a lot of things, but where is that stated in a document?
The Project for a New American Century, which operates as I recall, the Heritage Foundation building, has their documents on the internet. I forget put Project for a New American Century into Google and you get the website. It's probably newamericancentury.org or something like that. And they lay it
on. Why isn't this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration in 1998.
And Clinton bombed Iraq. And where was the outrage then?
Well, I think that there's a big difference between dropping some bombs on a site that looks like it has nuclear weapons of mass destruction in it and sending 150,000 people into another country. I think that there's a huge quantitative and qualitative difference there, Adam. You can't compare the two.
Well, I will concede to that there is a difference between the two, are you saying that these guys are risking this many lives in order to keep control of oil?
That's right.
I don't buy it because
without oil, listen, Adam, Adolf Hitler lost World War II because of oil. He ran out of oil.
He lost it because he was stubborn. He thought that he could send his men through the winter.
Yeah. Okay, I agree with you. He made a lot of mistakes, and he attacked Russia a year too early and all that sort of thing. But he, a good friend of mine in Germany actually spent a year in prison in Iran because on behalf of Hitler, he parachuted into northern Iraq to try to negotiate with the Kurds to seize the oil fields. Hitler desperately needed that oil. The reason the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor was because we cut off their oil supply from India.
We can get oil. Here in Alaska, I don't think that we would risk 150,000.
Adam, all the oil in Alaska, if you were to pump it all out right now, all the oil in north in the Anwar region would supply the United States for 6 months. All of the oil.
30 years. Look at the data. 30 years.
No, you're not
looking at the right information.
It's going to take 30 years to pump it. But if you took all of the American oil consumption, we're comparing apples and oranges.
You're not looking at the right data.
The rate at which we're consuming oil from Alaska, if we replace the Anwar, Alaska's oil fields are running dry, Adam. And if you replace those oil fields, they're running dry, and it's freaking out. It's why Ted Stevens has got his panties in a wad and he's all freaked out because they're losing their cash. And if you replace that with Anwar, yeah, you can pump that for 30 years and it'll make a small contribution to the American oil supply, 1% maybe. But the Saudis have 25% of the world's oil. We have less than 20% of the world's oil here in the United States. Adam, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase.
And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Yes, yes. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I've heard you call, wanted to sail upon your waters. I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking about, is Iraq Bush's Watergate? And here in a little bit, maybe after the news, I'll share with you a real interesting conversation that Richard Nixon had with H.R. Haldeman that actually has reasonable audio quality. Adam, by the way, in Alabama, I want to thank you for that call. I really appreciate it when people call up and disagree with me. It's nice to get in a good conversation like that. And I would point out to you, Adam, that of all the nations on Earth, including the United States, it appears that the nation that has the largest supply of oil, particularly according to the maps on the Dick Cheney Task Force papers that were just released this week as a result of Judicial Watch's lawsuit, is Iraq. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Raymond from Oregon is on the line. Raymond, welcome to the program. We got about 2 minutes here left in the hour. Raymond, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Hey. Yeah, I just was listening to your segment there with Adam and his doubts about the purpose of our invasion of Iraq, and I wanted to share something. You've mentioned the Project for a New American Century, and that is a very important organization of the neocon movement, neoconservatives. But there's another element of this that has been brought to my attention recently, and this is a name that's well-known in Republican circles, James A. Baker III. He has an Institute for Public Policy at Rice University.
Yeah, the guy who went down to Florida and led the Bash the Vote Counters campaign in 2000. Yep.
Yes, the Velvet
and
Hammer,
the guy who came out against, and he came out against the war in Iraq before the war. I'm sorry, Raymond, finish up real quickly. I'll give you 10 seconds here because we're at the top of the hour.
Okay, let me come back afterwards because it's going to take a little bit longer.
Cool. Hang on then. We got a 5 minute break here with the news. But Raymond, hang on the line. I appreciate it. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few minutes, and we'll be right back.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The military has now released graphic photographs of Saddam Hussein's two dead sons. A handful of photos clearly show the faces of Uday and Qusay Hussein. The two were reported casualties in a gun battle in Mosul on Tuesday. The Defense Department has historically shied away from showing the bodies of enemy and U.S. fighters killed in action. Yesterday, though, Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz said the unofficial rule is being bent this time in order to hopefully curb attacks on U.S. soldiers in Iraq. But even with that hope, several more American soldiers, this time from the 101st Airborne Division, have been killed outside Mosul. Public Affairs Officer Monica Walden confirmed the reports earlier today.
Three 101st Airborne Division soldiers were killed when their convoy was ambushed by small arms fire and rocket-propelled grenades while traveling outside to Qaeda West, outside of Mosul.
Walden said the ambush site was secured after the attack and the soldiers were evacuated to a nearby medical facility where they later died. It was the 101st that raided the house in Mosul this week, killing Saddam
Hussein's two sons. The United Nations says attacks on humanitarian groups in Iraq can no longer be considered isolated incidents. Two aid workers have been killed so far this week. Tuesday, a medical technician from Sri Lanka was killed and his driver wounded when they were fired on in an area south of Baghdad. Monday, an Iraqi driver for a refugee aid group was killed when his car was sprayed with bullets and he slammed into a bus. The UN says it is now reviewing security procedures. A congressional report on intelligence information gathering before the September 11th attacks is being released today formally. Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby told CBS's The Early Show today there was a lapse in cooperation and communication between U.S. intelligence agencies before the attacks.
I think the report points out a lack of cooperation, the lack of mission at times by a couple of the intelligence agencies.
One of the clues reportedly missed was when two of the suspected September 11th hijackers were living in San Diego. The review says the FBI linked them to Al-Qaeda days before the attacks, but by then it was too late.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if a girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet the Salone. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg says everyone now, including himself and city council members, will have to pass through metal detectors at City Hall. That follows a deadly shooting in the council chambers yesterday. Police say Othniel Askew shot and killed Councilman James Davis, and a police officer then shot and killed Askew. San Antonio police, meanwhile, are still trying to figure out a motive in a workplace shooting yesterday at a Century 21 office that left three people dead and one other in critical condition. A sales agent, identified as Ron Thomas, walked into the office and apparently opened fire on three women sitting together in a cubicle.
You love your car. You wash and wax your car. You talk to your car until it has trouble starting. Then you yell at your car, you curse your car, you kick your car in the tires. What you need is Die Hard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. Die Hard Express is more than a battery service. We give your car's electrical system a complete checkup. We look for common problems, and if you need a new battery, we install a Die Hard, America's most preferred battery.
Die Hard Express, Sears, good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
For the first time now in California history, the governor there is facing an official recall vote. Correspondent Don Andrews now has the latest on the certification of the petitions, as well as what happens next.
Now that the Secretary of State has certified the recall petitions, the politicking will kick into high gear. The lieutenant governor is poised to set a recall election date. That's expected to be either September 30th or October 7th. The only question now is whether replacement candidates will also be on the recall ballot. Bustamante has said he's only going to set a recall election date and let the little-known commission on the governor and the courts decide when the replacements will be chosen. That is, if Davis is recalled. Don Andrews, Sacramento.
And just when officials in Hong Kong thought their city was entirely free of SARS, 11 more patients are being tested for the potentially fatal disease. All 11 are patients apparently at a psychiatric hospital. All are said to be showing signs of respiratory illness. The World Health Organization declared Hong Kong SARS-free only about a month ago. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sex and the Single Driver. No, it's not the latest XXX film or a video on golf swings. And you'll never guess its producer, director. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
Sex and the Single Driver is a favorite feature of insurance companies. And if you're a middle-aged, married female, you're the star of this show. Yes, statistics show younger drivers are involved in more fatalities than mature adults. And singles have less safe driving records than those in wedding bliss. And here's the clincher, gentlemen. Males are deadlier drivers than females. In fact, a National Safety Council survey found fatal accident rates were 63% higher for men. So ladies, start your engines and enjoy the spotlight. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to our third hour in the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system. Channel 145, Sirius Left, and broadcasting live on the Internet from RadioPower.org and IEAmericaRadio.com with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. This is Tom Hartman, and we have Raymond from Oregon on the phone. Raymond, thanks for hanging on over that break. We were talking about oil, as I recall.
You bet. Tom, yeah, thanks for keeping me on the line here. What I wanted to point out was that in April of 2001, this was well before 9/11, President Bush's cabinet agreed that Iraq remains a destabilizing influence to the flow of oil to international markets from the Middle East. That's a quote from an article that's on the Common Dreams website, and I'm going to be sending that to you along with the document from the Baker Institute at that time. It indicates that at that time, the spring of 2001, that the Bush administration was keenly aware of the fact that Saddam Hussein was using oil as an instrument in his global diplomatic efforts to destabilize the American energy markets, you know, moving over to attempting to move over to the use of the euro as the default currency for energy transactions.
And encouraging OPEC to do the
it
same.
It looks like what we went into in Iraq was an effort simply to control the energy of future markets in this world.
Right. And there are some, Raymond, in this government who would suggest that there's nothing wrong with that, that that's the right and patriotic thing to do, that we have, as George Bush Sr. said, the American lifestyle is not negotiable. If we want to have SUVs, to hell with the rest of the world, we're going to have our SUVs. And nobody needs to be telling us that we should be putting solar collectors on top of our houses like they do in Finland, or that we should be super insulating our houses like they do in Germany, or that we should be looking at geothermal energy like they have in Iceland, or that we should be putting up windmills like they do in Finland, that you know, they can all take a hike, that we're the United States of America, and if we want to burn oil like crazy, and that it might harm the ozone layer, now they can just take a leap off a short pier. We're gonna have our SUVs, and in fact, we're going to make fun of people who don't think that we should have our SUVs with silly songs and funny jokes and things, and just try to turn the whole thing into something that, you know, into low comedy, because it's the patriotic thing, you know. I mean, it's us. Hi, Claudius. We are the empire.
Speaking of low comedy, I would alert your listeners to a new article by Seymour Hersh in the current issue of the New Yorker magazine.
Talking about... I read part of it yesterday on the air.
Oh, okay, good. Pretty remarkable to see how we can use our special forces to blow up cars hauling out
gasoline, yeah.
Minor quantities of gasoline out of a country.
Into Syria, and we can invade another country. We invaded Syria to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
And captured some of them and injured some of their guards. We killed 80 people. And it turns out that this has just exacerbated the turf wars between Rumsfeld and the CIA, because the CIA was saying, don't go after them, they're just smuggling gasoline. And Rumsfeld said, no, it might be Saddam. and turns out they were smuggling gasoline.
Well, when an American administration turns out to be the theater of the absurd, it seems like it's time we better pay some serious attention to what's going on in Washington.
Yeah, I agree. Raymond,
okay,
thank
well,
you
that's,
for
that's
for
what
that.
I had to say, Tom. So I'll send you the information that I've got, and hopefully we can get it into circulation. The American democracy only lives if people understand what's going on.
I agree, and I will share whatever you send to me, and I assume you know how to, you know, my website, tomhartman.com, my email is on every page on there, and or there's a link to it on every page. And also, we've got a message board on there where you can post a message, and there's a whole bunch of, about 20,000 messages in there. A lot of people read the message board, and you can post links on there as well. Raymond, thank you for the call. I truly appreciate it. June 17th, 1972. Go into the Wayback Machine. Probably some of you listening weren't even born. This was 31 years ago. Five men were arrested at the Watergate office building for breaking into the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee. And this was, there was a congressional investigation. It showed that these five guys, plus James McCord, Gordon Liddy, and Howard Hunt, all together, these eight guys, that this was a self-contained thing, that they went no farther than that. The FBI said so. The Congress said so. I mean, there was actually a very thorough investigation of this, or at least what was presented as such. Very thorough investigation. But Woodward and Bernstein got on this thing like a dog on a pant leg and didn't let go. And they just started digging deeper and deeper and deeper in a way that reporters just don't do anymore. We don't have investigative journalism anymore, because when the media got bought out by these huge Republican corporations, these very, very conservative, very large corporations that now control our news media, they say, you know, we don't really want to be looking into this stuff. And because it's expensive. Harms profits. Frankly, I'm not even sure that there's a political agenda to it. I think it's just it harms profits, which gets us back to the question of, you know, what kind of democracy do we have when the corporations are calling all the shots and everything is based on whether or not it generates profits. But that's another rant. Anyhow, on June 17th of 1972, you got five guys broke into the Watergate. 6 months later, the first Senate Watergate Committee was established in February of 73. A few months later, in April of 73, the first defection from the White House, John Dean. We played the tape in the last hour of H.R. Haldeman saying to Richard Nixon, if we're going to stop this thing, we got to get to Pat Gray. We got to get to the head of the FBI and tell him, no more investigations. Call off your dogs. And so on April 30th of 1973, the word finally got out. I mean, they finally had Woodward and Bernstein. If you want to see the sort of, you know, semi-fictionalized, I don't know if it's fictionalized, but dramatized, that's the word, story of this. Rent the movie All the President's Men with Dustin Hoffman and, what's his name? The Sundance Film Festival guy. And I know you're all going, what the, that's his name. I mean, you all know his name, and I'm having one of those senior moments. But anyhow, as Nixon decided to do damage control on April 30th, 1973, He went on national television and he said, this is terrible what happened. This should not have happened. This bugging of the Democratic headquarters, this political espionage. Now, still, the story hadn't come out about what these people were doing to, you know, how they had set it up so that in the 72, November 72 election, keep in mind, an election happened over the middle of this, that they had set it up so that Nixon would end up running against McGovern instead of Muskie. I mean, they had actually, the Nixon campaign had actually essentially taken control of the Nixon, of the Democratic Party. And I got a tape to play here for you of Richard Nixon. I'm going to do that. I got a couple of callers on the line I just noticed here, so I'm going to take these calls, and then we'll get back to Richard Nixon. This is such a classic bit of American history. And what it says to me, it is so similar to some of the things that are coming out of the White House right now that it's spooky. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Tony in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing?
Hey, Tony.
Thank you for letting more room and the water cooler come to the floor.
Okay.
I just wanted to know your opinion. I just heard you talk to the gentleman from Alabama, and you were telling him serious information, cerebral information that he can find for himself, how do you, you know, feel, I guess, when you just told him, said, look, I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to debase anybody. I'm just telling you facts for your, to not for you to be more inclusive about your democracy. And he just felt entrenched in his dogma and bias.
I'm not sure. I think Adam might have had a bit of an open mind, and I think he's probably going to go off and start looking for some of this stuff. And Adam, if you're still listening, commondreams.org has an incredible archive of articles on this topic with all kinds of good source materials and references.
Well, just keep at it. You know, maybe, like I say, you'll open his mind a little bit wider than those who tend to be on the left and the right there.
Thank you, Tony.
Mention their dogma. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, Tony. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Margaret in New Mexico.
Yeah.
New Mexico is on the phone. Hey, Margaret.
Tom?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, hi. I was calling because some of the things you're saying bring back memories. And I wondered, no one has ever said anything about the Heritage Foundation. And they think it's sort of like a group checking out on things, but that Heritage Foundation was founded years ago, I don't know, maybe 20, but that's mostly a Republican foundation, and it's
it was started by the Senate. Yeah, it was started with money from the Castle Rock Foundation, which was owned by Joe Coors, a very conservative Republican.
Well, you know, actually it acts more like the RNC, the Republican National Committee. And it does things, and we keep getting more of that because Dick Armey, when he retired, he formed an organization to talk about Social Security and everything, and they're Republicans, so they're setting up everything to go work with the corporations.
Well, that seems to be the way things are going. We've actually, I don't disagree. I think that there have been times when the Heritage Foundation has been at odds with the Republican Party, when the Republican Party has been a little more moderate than it is now. But certainly as the Republican Party took a rapid swing to the hard right with the election of Ronald Reagan, the Heritage Foundation's opinions and thoughts were getting more carefully listened to across America.
Well, I sure do like listening to what you're saying because I know what you're saying is true, and I just saw what they were talking about, the Iraq thing, and I had to turn off the television.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
You're welcome, Margaret. Thanks for the call, and thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. So we have Richard Nixon, and I just have a little bit of this clip that I'm going to play here before the break, and then we'll get into some more of it. Because this is interesting, and if you've got kids in the room, put earmuffs over their ears or whatever. Let me give you the first few seconds of it. Let me just tell you, this is Nixon talking to Haldeman. He's just given a speech firing Haldeman, and he calls Haldeman and says,
hello.
Hi.
Hope I didn't let you down.
That's
no, sir. You got your points over.
This is
Haldeman. Now you got to set right and move on.
Nixon.
You're right where you ought to be.
Oh, that's Haldeman.
Well, it's a tough thing, Bob, for you, for John, the rest, but God, I'm never going to discuss this son of a bitching Watergate thing again. Never, 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 never.
And we will see how that turns out. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Is Iraq Bush's Watergate?
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LAI, Bongo, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, I love a rainy night, such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Interesting discussion in the chat room. Do we live in a democracy or a republic? We've discussed this before on the program. It's pretty much a matter of public record. Go back and read Federalist Number 10, James Madison. This is prior to 1787 when Federalist Number 10 was published. The dictionary definition, literally the dictionary, you know, Webster's dictionary, Noah Webster, the dictionary definition of republic and democracy were the same. And Madison was trying to sell the Constitution to the American people. And it goes back, frankly, to the discussion, and we talked about this a week ago when we talked about the history of Greek democracy. It goes back to the discussion that Aristotle had, in which he suggested that democracy is bad because it's mob rule. And his solution was to have plutocracy, or oligarchy, that is, a rule by the elite. And the big debate that was going on among the founders was whether we should have a democracy or an oligarchy. John Adams And Alexander Hamilton and the Federalists, who are now called the Republicans, were in favor of an oligarchy, and to some extent they won. They didn't want the Senate to be elected by the people because the people, what John Adams called the rabble, couldn't be trusted. And they didn't want the president to be elected by the people because the people, John Adams called them the rabble, couldn't be trusted. And so they so the Senate were appointed by state politicians, professional politicians in the state, right up in the states, right up until 1918. And the president was elected by the Electoral College rather than by we the people. And Madison in Federalist Number 10 came up with this convoluted definition of the difference between republic and democracy. And that began the debate. But the reality is that the founders said, okay, the democracy part of it is that we're actually going to have, we're going to allow some of the people to vote. And now more and more of the people vote. We now have a directly elected Senate as well. And the Republican part of it is that we have a constitution. We're a constitutional republic. And so we are a constitutionally limited democratic republic. We are unlike the Roman republics where people, everybody couldn't vote. We are unlike the Greek democracy where nobody voted. It was a lottery system. And anyhow, enough about that. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in California is on the line. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Billy, aren't you just itching to hear more of Richard Nixon?
Oh, well, you can't hear too much of Richard Nixon. and I must say that I was offended when he died at his funeral that people made a fuss about him like he was a good man. Seems to me if you rise to the presidency and then besmirch it and cheat on it and do all those disgusting things, you don't deserve honor. I mean, am I mistaken?
Well,
it should matter
how you perform,
whether or not you are honored at your death. Not just
yeah, I mean, there's the old point that Hitler made, Billy, that history is written by the victors, you know. It's
exactly.
I am not a Republican, and I have never supported Richard Nixon. And I have to say that there were some things that Nixon did that were very good for this country.
Well, yeah, there's some things. He didn't drop poison into the water. But in general, the guy wasn't good for this country. He lied. He had some sort of secret plan for the war. It was a lie. He tried to steal the election. And by the way, that's what I called to discuss.
That was the
it's
big
thing.
It's
not
a
republic. It's not a democracy. It's a kleptocracy.
Okay.
And in fact, I mean that in both senses. It is a kleptocracy in that the people who are there to steal. And in fact, they've stolen your republic and your democracy because between gerrymandering and everything else that they do, the elections mean nothing. So we have a kleptocracy. It's been stolen.
Billy, I still think elections mean something, and I agree that, you know, with this Tom DeLay and his thing in Texas and Colorado where he's re-rigging the voting districts.
But what?
Illegally.
Say it cold. That is cheating Americans out of their real chance to vote for whom they want and not have the people they don't want or are already in it control what happens, isn't it?
There you go. It's stealing democracy. You're absolutely right. They are trying to steal our democracy, and they've been doing it ever since Richard Nixon. I'm right there with you, Billy. Thanks
for
the call. I appreciate it. This is the Tom Hartman program. Stick around. We'll return in just a few moments.
Hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
An international boycott of Coca-Cola products was launched this week in hopes of pressuring the company to rein in anti-union violence at its plants in Colombia. 7 Colombian union leaders at Coca-Cola bottling plants have been killed by paramilitary groups, and they were specifically targeted for their union activities. Coca-Cola was the target of a civil lawsuit brought on behalf of the dead workers in a Florida court last year, but a judge absolved the company of blame in March. A suit against Coke's Colombian bottlers continues.
Where do we work?
Fair, sir.
study.
And when do we want it?
Now!
Employees of the National Institutes of Health rallied outside their Washington, D.C. headquarters this week in protest of plans to privatize that agency's services. Members of the American Federation of Government Employees say their jobs are on the chopping block due to a process called A76.
Well, the A76 is a process the government uses to compete our jobs against private industry and contractors.
Richard Laubach is president of AFGE Local 2419.
The current study process we're using for this study is lowest bidder, which means if a contractor comes in and gives the lowest cost to do the work, they get the work, no matter how flawed their work may be.
That focus on the bottom line jeopardizes the public, according to Jackie Ballard of Blacks in Government. She says the agency does research into some of the most dangerous biological and radioactive materials known to science.
It is imperative that these facilities are safeguarded and maintained by highly trained and experienced federal employees.
The NIH will complete its competition by September 15th.
Another mass layoff coming at the Kodak Corporation. This continues a five-year trend of downsizing. This latest round will cut another 6,000 workers loose, or another 9% of its workforce.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All the world over, so easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, please, listen. That's the way it should be. Peace in the valley. People got to be free.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 27 minutes before the hour. And if you want to see real democracy, look at what's happening in California right now. That's the mob rule aspect of it. A lot of people are questioning whether that ever should have been put into law, but it was something the populists were pushing for back around the turn of the century because the republic had been stolen by the kleptocrats, as Billy so well points out. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Philip in Florida's on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Philip.
Hi. I have some experience when I used to live in California. I only moved a year ago. But I have some experience with this initiative issue in terms of signature gathering. And in the middle 80s, a group of us were trying to stop unbridled development in a place called Orange County. And we were trying to qualify a ballot measure for the county and also for their city of San Juan Capistrano to limit development to developers who would pay for the infrastructure that the development was going to create. Well, the developers and the board of supervisors who ran the county were in bed together. In fact, one had to resign rather than be indicted for taking bribes.
Yeah, it's kind of the way it happened in Florida for years and years, too. I mean, throughout the 50s and 60s and 70s. John D. McDonald used to write about that a lot.
Republican conservative politicians in Orange County never lose in an election. They usually lose their office as a function of taking bribes and then being forced to resign. But by going back to what I was going to say, we had to sign, you know, we would get something like, I think, 10 to 15 signatures per legal size page. At the very bottom of the page, it said we had to sign a legal document, a statement that says we ascribe that we are residents of Orange County, and registered the vote and under penalty of law and all this other stuff, and then sign it before we submitted it. Now, through the through the suggestion of the developers who opposed us, the county checked every one of these, made sure that if you lived in San Diego County, okay, and you were involved in this, that all your signatures would be disqualified. This guy brought in signature gatherers from out of state.
Okay, you're talking now about the Gray Davis recall,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
and about this guy who had been arrested twice for stealing cars, then
right.
then started a car alarm company, made millions of dollars, bought himself a political campaign, got a seat in the House of Representatives. What was his name? Issa.
Yeah.
And then went out and said, okay, I'll pay a buck a signature. Because there's been ballot initiatives to recall every single governor since 1915 or 18, whatever year it was this thing first went on the books in California, the ability to recall. And there have actually been two state representatives and several judges that have successfully been recalled.
But the kicker is they had one standard for people, you know, grassroots people, and another standard, you know, for the big people.
Statewide. Yeah, and I don't think that the guys who wrote the law. I mean, let's cut them a little slack. This law was written a long, long time ago, and I don't think that they ever imagined that anybody would be so brazen as to say, "I'll pay a dollar a signature if you'll go out and get signatures." And then people, I mean, we've had reports on this show of people who've walked into supermarkets and they've had somebody outside saying, "Would you like to sign a petition to keep our teachers employed?" And they go, "Sure." And they look at it, and it says, you know, in big letters, petition to keep our teachers employed, or something similar to that.
Yeah, but when you read
and
the fine print, another
that's
story.
Right. Down at the bottom in 9-point type, it says recall petition. And,
right.
And they, you know, it's and they confront these people, and they say, this is the Gray Davis recall petition. Well, yeah, you know, well, why didn't you tell me that? Well, you know, I get paid a dollar a signature.
That's right.
Bucks.
And, that's right.
And I don't think that when they passed this law, they ever thought that any politician would be such a corrupt, so corrupt and so willing to corrupt and subvert democracy or
that's
republic
right.
or whatever you want to call it, as this guy, Issa or Issa.
Yeah.
This is filthy.
But, you know, what's ironic is this is about the only thing that the Republicans ever done to lower unemployment, by paying people a buck a signature.
Only
recall
for a brief
Davis.
Term there, Philip. Only for a brief term.
Yeah, but the thing is, unfortunately, Davis set himself up. I used to work at Salinas Valley State Prison, a high-security prison in California.
Yeah.
And that union was charged their members something like $65 a month membership dues.
Mm-hmm.
But they got them contracts. So these guys who were basically had, you know, GED certificates. Some of them were quite literally working at Walmart before they got a job working in the prison, making $80,000 a year. And teachers like me were making less than half of that.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase here, Philip.
And the bottom line is he was beholden to that union because they helped get him elected.
Yeah,
and I'm sure
many others. I mean, the whole politics breeds strange bedfellows. Whether it's the unions or the corporations, you've got it's a mess all the way around. Philip, thanks for the call and for making the point. I appreciate it. And yeah, I think, you know, no doubt, Gray Davis has shot himself in the foot in many, many ways. And you know, whether or not he deserves to be recalled, I don't know. I don't live in California. I don't have a dog in that fight, as they say. But I do. Have a dog in the fight of democracy in America. And I'm wondering, is Iraq going to be Bush's Watergate? Here's, again, Richard Nixon talking to H.R. Haldeman. He has just fired Haldeman on national television and pinned all the blame for Watergate on Haldeman. This is before it comes out that Nixon was actually the one behind all this. And he's engaged in this huge cover-up. And he's now sucking up to Haldeman on the telephone because Haldeman has the power to destroy Nixon and ultimately does.
Don't you agree? Yes, sir. You've done it now, and you've laid out your
That's
position.
Haldeman.
You've laid out your, you've taken your steps. You've put that
interesting thing, you know, we haven't heard of the only cabinet officer that is called, and this is 50 minutes after the thing is over, is Cap Weinberger, bless his soul.
Good old Casper Weinberger.
We're waiting to see what the polls show. got a strong cabinet, isn't it?
You better check and be sure, because that they may, you know, we've had a...
No. They know who to call, you know. They know they...
Nixon the paranoid.
In any event, I just want you to know that Cap called, and he was all the way.
Good.
But let me say, you're a strong man, God damn it, and I love you. And I, you know, I love John.
John Ehrlichman.
And by God, keep the faith. Keep the faith. You're going to win this, son of a bitch.
Absolutely.
You notice what I said about the violence and so forth on the other side.
Yeah.
So he took a big swipe at the Democrats in his speech where he blamed it all on Haldeman, fired Haldeman and Ehrlichman, and then essentially said it was all caused by the Democrats. And he was pointing to the anti-war demonstrations and stuff. And
I mean, there were some intricacies in this that only the sophisticated don't understand.
I got those, and I want to get the text because there's some things to work on from there. But
right.
That we can build.
I thought it was good, too, to sort of end on what I deeply felt, you know.
Now, here's where you get this is. The Republicans are so good at this, the playing the religion thing, you know, I'm the most religious guy in the world, you know, it's...
Let's just note, you know,
yeah.
God bless
yeah,
America, I mean, I'm sure it must have, you know, driven you up the wall, didn't drive me up the wall, but I felt that way.
I'm all for that. Completely agree.
That's nice of Haldeman.
I don't know whether you can call and get any reactions and call me back, you know, like the old style.
So now,
mind?
Now he's asking Haldeman for a favor. Haldeman says, no, I don't think so.
Don't call God damn soul. The hell with it. Let me just say, getting this call from me, from you, and I haven't heard from any cabinet officer except Weinberger an hour afterwards, and thank God, and no staff member.
Well, now when I called, the board said they were instructed not to put any calls through. So
the hell with that. I told them to put all the calls through.
Well, that may be why you haven't gotten them, though, because that's
all right.
What you told me.
I'll change it.
All right.
Fine, but God bless you, boy.
Okay.
God bless you. I love you, as you know.
Okay.
Like my brother.
And we'll...
All right, boy.
On and up from
keep the faith.
Right.
Yeah, talking to the guy he just fired and publicly disgraced, and Haldeman at one point said, I'm going to get the transcripts. There's something in there I can work with. What Nixon didn't realize is that what Haldeman was going to work with was the book he was writing inside the Nixon White House that laid all this stuff out. This is so, but keeping in mind that of all the crimes that Richard Nixon committed and on his behalf, that you know, people like Bernard Barker and G. Gordon Liddy and these guys, E. Howard Hunt, that they committed on his behalf, crimes against democracy, let's say, subverting the democratic process, successfully changing who the Democratic candidate was going to be so that they could have a candidate that they knew they could beat. It reminds me in the last election about the report that came out of, I believe it was New Mexico. The Green Party said that the Republicans had come in and given them $100,000 to put a Green on the ballot, to split the ticket with the Dems so that the Republican could win. This is the kind of stuff that deserves to be held up. So now we have the situation where the timeline of Iraq starts in 1981. In 1981 and 1982, Iraq actually did buy uranium, yellow cake uranium, from Niger. 858 drums of it. Now, why isn't everybody talking about that? Why isn't George Bush talking about that? Well, the reason why is because Donald Rumsfeld set up the sale. Remember when he went over and shook hands with Saddam? This was during the Reagan administration. We helped make this happen. We were arming this guy. We were selling him. When he gassed his own people, he was our friend. We said nothing about it. Not a word. Then in early 2001, Niger and Iraq are said to be working on an export deal to get some more money, according to British intelligence. Now, this is interesting. Let me just digress for just a second from this. This is just a piece by Wes Vernon on Newsmax, a right-wing website. He says, most of the 9/11 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, but there is no CIA station in Saudi Arabia. Furthermore, this is a situation that goes back to the 1973 oil embargo. It started with President Richard Nixon. The U.S. then, quote, cut a deal with Saudi Arabia, saying, you invest your money and buy our arms, and we'll take our oil, we'll take your oil, no questions asked, end quote. Quote, this from Robert Baer, this on Newsmax.com, the right-wing website, conservative website, quote, the CIA has no sources in Saudi Arabia, none. They closed their eyes. Too risky. We must not offend the Saudis. They control 25% of the world's oil. And, of course, back then, Iraq was right now, Iraq is controlling an enormous amount of oil. Some are thinking that in the oil industry, and you find speculation about this on some of the oil industry websites, that Iraq actually has more oil than Saudi Arabia. In fact, when you look at Dick Cheney's documents that came out as a result of this Judicial Watch lawsuit by Larry Klayman, you discover that about a third of Iraq has never been explored, and they've divided the southern the part of Iraq that abuts up against Kuwait. The part that Kuwait was running slant wells into that was what caused the 1991 invasion of Kuwait. When Saddam went to April Gillespie, our person there, and said, you know, I'm thinking of attacking Kuwait because they're running these slant wells in and they're sucking my oil out. And she said, no problem with us. And he went ahead and did it. And this is, you know, New York Times. It's all a matter of public record. And that there is all this oil in the southwestern end of Iraq that has not even been explored for. And Cheney, in their energy report, had divided this part, this unexplored part, into these nine regions, and they were determining which companies in which countries would have the right to explore that area. This in these documents. And so we look at the timeline, and we see that then, in February of 2002, the CIA sends Joe Wilson over to Niger to investigate the claims of uranium, and on it goes. And that's where we jump to the question of, should Bob Novak and his two administration sources be prosecuted in this thing? Is this the unraveling that is happening the same way Watergate unraveled? The way that Nixon tried to get out of it was by playing pin the tail on the donkey, pin the blame on somebody else. He tried to nail John Dean. He tried to nail John Ehrlichman. He tried to blame John Mitchell. He tried to blame H.R. Haldeman. He tried to blame Segretti. He tried to blame E. Howard Hunt. He tried to blame everybody except himself. And now we've got this situation where Joe Wilson is hired by the vice president's office to go over to Niger and determine if Iraq actually tried to get any uranium there. He goes over there. He does his investigation. He comes back. He reports. This is before the State of the Union speech. And says, no, there's none there. The administration chooses to ignore it. A couple of weeks ago, he writes an op-ed piece in the New York Times in which he lays this out. He says, you know, Bush... These are not his words, but I don't have it in front of me. But he essentially says Bush lied to us when he said that they were trying to. He says, because I went and checked it out, and I told these guys, they knew it. They knew it was a lie. Yeah, he said the British said it, but that's a lie by misdirection. And so what do? It turns out Joe Wilson's wife is a CIA agent who specializes in weapons of mass destruction, and so Bob Novak writes a column, his newspaper column, in which he cites two high-placed administration officials. And he names the wife of Joe Wilson and says she's a CIA agent. He outs an undercover CIA agent. All of her sources are now potentially compromised. This is an article in the Financial Times, a very conservative publication in England. The U.S. envoy, who first revealed doubts about intelligence showing that Saddam Hussein had tried to buy uranium, said on Tuesday he has become the target of a major smear campaign orchestrated by the White House. They illegally disclosed to a reporter that his wife was an operative for the CIA working in counterproliferation division. This is a felony. 10 years in jail for doing this. What should happen to Bob Novak? You're with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
I have a headache. I will take Tylenol now.
It's easy to forget sometimes. You don't have to do things the same way over and over. You have a choice.
I always take Tylenol.
But you could take Advil. Advil Liquigels are proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
I need data.
Clinical tests prove it. Advil Liquigels, advanced liquid-filled capsules, rush relief where you need it.
So I have a choice. I can choose Advil.
When was the last time you rethought your pain medicine? For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear the Molloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. Or is this popping sound. Woo, man. Cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry. Didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, funny dude.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Molloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Molloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Molloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Let's go.
former United States ambassador, says that naming his wife Valerie Plame, P-L-A-M-E, as a CIA agent, naming her in this way would have compromised every operation, every relationship, every network with which she had been associated in her entire career. This is the stuff of Kim Philby and Aldrich Ames, end quote. And as Korn, don't have his first name here, but Paul Krugman mentions this too, under the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982, it is a felony with a punishment of up to 10 years in prison and a $50,000 fine for naming a CIA agent who is working in the field and compromising them like this. And so what does Bob Novak say in his article in the Sun-Times? He says, quote, Wilson never worked for the CIA, but his wife, Valerie Plame, is an agency operative on weapons of mass destruction, end quote. This BushWarsBlog.com points out that at the time that this first came out, if you plugged Valerie Plame into Google, you only got about four hits back. And he said, if you start seeing a whole bunch of hits attached to her name, you can know that this thing is going to start to unravel. This may be that perhaps they have gone over the top. Way over the top. And it's not just Joe Wilson and his wife. Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois. This from Reuters yesterday. Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois charged that the White House had floated a bogus story that he had disclosed classified information regarding Iraq's suspected weapons of mass destruction. Quote, this is the United States senator says, quote, the White House allegations were in fact false and inaccurate. Sadly, what we have here is a continuing pattern by this White House. If any member of this Senate questions this White House policy, be prepared for the worst. Is democracy at risk? Has it been stolen? Are we seeing the patterns of Watergate repeated? I report, you decide. Give it some thought. We'll talk some more about it tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today on the Tom Hartman Program. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place. The most mad Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.